Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the Qur'an Hakim with regards to a group of people, a jamaat, Allah has mentioned a lot of times about those people, about that group of people. This is that group of people, that jamaat, and in reality these people will be rightfully due paradise. They will be the rightful owners of paradise. And they will attain Allah Ta'ala's the rank due to attaining Allah's love there, and they will get high maqam. That jamaat, that group of people, get high rank and status, and they will attain the special nearness of Allah in the hereafter, in paradise, and they will get Allah's rewards and Allah's blessings in the whole of the Quran. Allah's mention that if you want to attain all of these things, then you should be included in this group of people. You should include yourself in this group of people. And that jamaat that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, it's those people, they are the muttaqeen. The muttaqeen. These are the people, the group of people who will attain paradise that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the whole Quran. Time and time again, Allah Ta'ala has advised the people of Iman that attain taqwa and become the muttaqeen. Go into the group of the muttaqeen. Now the muttaqeen, who are the muttaqeen? The muttaqeen are those people, those women and men, not those who we think do a lot of worship, big quantity of worship, lots of worship. No, rather those people who work hard to be cautious about their sins, leave their sins. Yes, it's good to do worship, to do deeds, worship deeds, prayers. But if a person doesn't leave the sins, then he is wasting his deeds, his worship. All his ma'mulat, all his practice goes to waste. So we should emphasize more on what? We should apply more weight on what? To become, to get taqwa and to become included in the group, to be included in the group of the muttaqeen, we need to do more of what? Leave the sins. We think, oh, let me do as much ibadah as I can. Then after that we'll think that to be a wali Allah, to be close to Allah, to attain Allah's love, that our basis is one, do a lot of worship, lot of prayers. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's basis, criterion, is not high quantity of ibadah. If a person does just this much, that the faraid Allah has given to us, the compulsory deeds, 5 times salah, and keep fasting in Ramadan, and zakah that has been apportioned to fulfill that zakat, and then hajj, when the weather of hajj comes, and to complete the hajj if it is compulsory on the person. These are the compulsory actions. If a person does this much, he doesn't pray nafil, voluntary prayers, or ishraq, or tahajjud, doesn't do lengthy dhikr, doesn't do 10 hajj, 10 umrah, no problem. No problem. Alongside this, if an individual, that he focuses on leaving the sins, and the more he leaves the sins, the more he becomes the muttaqi. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That's enough. That's enough. Now what do? Is that we emphasize on part A. Voluntary actions, extra prayers, extra nawafil. We'll say he's a pious person. If someone asks you who's pious, we'll think, does he pray tahajjud? Does he pray shuraq? Oh, that person, did he pray this nafil? How many times did he perform hajj? Oh, he does hajj many times. Oh, he's pious. This is our criterion for somebody who's pious, isn't it? Is it? And then, oh, he's gone again on hajj this year. MashaAllah, he's very pious. He's arrived at the pedestal, the high pedestal. No problem. No doubt. He is pious. But pious is that person who Allah Ta'ala has defined as pious. It can't be anyone who just claims to be himself. For Allah Ta'ala says, the pious for me is that person, subhanAllah, that he fulfills the fara'id on time, the compulsory actions on time, and he saves himself from the sins. Yes, because disobedience of Allah, Allah says, I don't like this. So I'm mentioning this point for this reason, that us people, alhamdulillah, we are students of tazkiyah, we are trying to purify ourselves, so we should decide on our path and track. That's why we sit down and we revise the lesson, so we don't go off track left and right. So where do we need to emphasize more? Where? Then towards leaving the sins. And if we leave the sins, we'll become the muttaqi person. Yes, if you read the verses of the Quran, Allah has mentioned rewards for those who have taqwa. So many rewards. When Allah gives high reward in the Quran, Allah says immediately, this is for the muttaqeen. This individual who saved himself from lying and backbiting, saved himself from haram and unlawful deeds and music and singing, who doesn't oppress anybody, commit injustice, who doesn't commit fraud, who doesn't consume haram. For those people, Allah Ta'ala has kept Jannah. Allah has never said that these rules are for those people who read this many Qurans and this and that. So what we need to do, alhamdulillah, is that we need to do both in parallel, that we should try to do as much ibadah as we can and reduce the sins, eliminate the sins, shun the sins. So that's the balance that we should have with the fadl wala. Tahajjud is there, nafal actions and hajj and umrah. At the same time, we don't waste those deeds, so we give more emphasis on what? Oh, I don't want to commit this sin. So then we are safe. Then we are safe. We are saving our ibadah. So that's the mujahid who does both actions. Why should I stop at just the fard? I'll pray nafil, yes, and I'll save myself from the sins. Yes, that's the person who's trying and striving and making effort. So that's the standard we've been given, that okay, do worship, yes, prayer, but more than ibadah, worship, Allah says that I want you to leave and migrate from the sins. This is our situation. Sins now. Shaitan always tries and makes effort to influence us to do sins. And always we should be analyzing and looking at ourselves that I don't want to commit a sin. There's one ajeeb sin, one sin which sticks out, and the punishment for that sin is huge, huge. And we need to see that, is it common in our lives today, this sin? Just like I said about taqwa, I told you about taqwa, so let's hear about the sins as well. Now we know about the reward for taqwa, let's hear about the sins. That's why we sat in here, that's why we're collected together. I'm not here to tell you stories, folk tales, Layla Majnu stories, and stories of the people who went before us for nothing. We are here for nasiya, so we get guidance, Allah's fadl, grace that He has gathered us together. So we should take such a lesson from this gathering that we can start practicing it tomorrow. Will we do this? Inshallah. That's it. That's why if something comes to us that we remember from before, we revise it, practice it. Brothers and sisters who are listening, they also make the same intention. Not that we just sit here to waste time. This is Allah's great fadl. When Allah Ta'ala gives us this great reward, that when a man comes to the gathering with a niyyah, with his heart, having the intention that I want to hear something good, I want to improve my life, then Allah gives rewards to that person, isn't it? So we left our home and we've come so far, we've thought this. So Allah says, I will also give you the reward for this. What's the reward? That I will allow you to do my dhikr after that. So dhikr is a reward. Allahu Akbar. All the majalis, all the gatherings have a system that we are following. Allah's reward comes. That what is our niyyah to the intention? That the words that we hear today, I will inshallah do amal on these from today. I will practice on this. Will you do this, brothers? Yes, good. Okay, let's continue. So as we're saying, we need to save ourselves from sins, and sins are very dangerous. And a sin that's come to my mind that I'd like to share, discuss with you. Don't think that we are not included in this. Say, I am. That's when the sin will be eradicated. Don't say, oh, I'm not included. No, I am. I'm scanning myself. How can it be I'm not sinning? Am I an angel? That's when the enjoyment comes. I say, no, I'm pious, I'm good. Oh, this is for the person next to me. Oh, it's for my neighbor. Oh, it's for that person. No, not for me. No, rather say it's for me. I'm the sinful. Whoever's listening, wherever you are listening, accept that it's me who's been addressed. I've been given an opportunity, and from tomorrow I'm not going to commit this sin. From the punishment, we realize how big a sin is, isn't it? Like example, you go to the prison. You go to visit the prisoners in a prison. You interview the prisoners. How many years are you inside for? Oh, I've been given 5 years jail. Then you know, okay, he's done a sin or crime. How many years have you got, mate? 10 years. Oh, he's a bigger thief. He's done a bigger theft, bigger crime. You go further on and ask the prisoner, oh, I was given 25-year sentence. Oh, he's a bandit. He's the biggest criminal. That's the standard, isn't it? Ask the policeman who's sitting here. He'll tell you. This is the standard, isn't it? Whoever gets more years inside, in prison, then we say that that person's a bigger criminal. So the person who gets a bigger punishment from the sin, then we'll realize that that sin is a bigger sin, a worse sin, a more severe sin. In our minds, it might be minor, but it's very difficult to assess sins like this, isn't it? Like today, we say, no, it's not a sin. We say this, don't we? Isn't this? Oh, it's a small sin. Oh, it's not a sin, we say. So immediately, what do we need to think? That come, let's discuss and understand what's the punishment for this sin. Then we'll realize how bad a sin that is. What a great definition, a criterion, a standard to measure how big or severe a sin. This is a nasiha Allah has given to us today. When we think, oh no, it's not a sin. Many people say this. Oh Allah, it's not a sin. Where's it written this is a sin? It's okay. You can do this. We say, no, where's it written? Oh, it's not a sin. All the people in the world are doing this. Don't you say, be quiet. Now, I've told you the standard, isn't it? That let's see the sin I'm committing. Let me analyze that. How severe is the punishment for the sin? When I see the punishment, then the sinner will immediately understand that he's speaking nonsense, the person who's trying to make me sin. There's a big punishment for the sin. And the sin that I'm speaking about, or I'm going to speak about, what's the punishment? That Jahannam, hellfire, is such a place that there's no more darkness than in Jahannam, isn't it? The intensity of darkness. Everyone will be going to Jannah. The people will be destined for hellfire. They will have to go into that darkness. In the hadith, it is stated that this sin will result in what? A certain darkness in Jahannam will be given to a person. That the darkness due to this sin will be worse, more intense and darker than the standard darkness of Jahannam. Imagine, do we understand now how severe is this sin that we're going to realize in a minute? That Allah Ta'ala will apportion a certain place and abode and darkness in Jahannam as a result of this sin. May Allah forgive and protect us from this sin. Then it stated, listen more, next hadith, that this is such a big sin, such a severe sin, that the person who commits this sin, even if he hangs himself upside down and begs and pleads to Allah, Allah will not listen to his dua. Allahu Akbar. May Allah protect us from this sin. Save us. Do you understand how bad is this sin? Now let's go further. Allah will not listen to his dua. He says, I'm not a sinful person. I've not committed sin. Look, he's done this. He's prospering. I've not done anything. Why me? So let's imagine from this sin that what is the punishment of this sin? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not listen to his dua. Let's go next step. The person who commits this sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never send his mercy onto that person. Now we're hopeful after sinning of what? Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy. Okay, Allah's rahmah will save me, will be saved. Allah will say the door of my rahmah will be slammed shut on that person who commits this sin. Tell me, where will that man go? Where will he go? So Allah will not listen to the person. Then we have something to hang on to, a hope. Allah will listen. Allah says, I won't listen to you. Oh, Allah's rahmah, Allah's ghafoor al-raheem. We hear this many times. We sin to the nth degree. Allah will be rahmah with us. Allah says, my rahmah doesn't arrive to that person. The question doesn't arise. Nor do I listen to his dua. Nor does my rahmah arrive to that person. And another hope we have, a very faint hope that we always hang on to. And mashallah, we do. We hang on to this hope. And there's a faint hope of mu'min. What do we say? Allahu Akbar. We said, okay, at least there's another door that's open. The Holy Prophet will hold on to him and ask him, request him for his shifa, intercession. This is a door we have, isn't it? Hear about this one as well, then the response comes. This is such a severe sin, bad sin. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that I will not intercede for that sinful person, for the sinner. Do the sin. Carry on, but I will not intercede for you, said Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I won't intercede for you, said Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now tell me, is this enough for us to understand? There's a long list of the disasters of the sin, but I think we don't need to go beyond that. All the doors are shut on our face. What do we do now? If anyone at this moment in time is immersed in the sin, occupied with the sin, implementing the sin, doing this sin, yes? If anyone is doing this sin, that the sin that we will discuss now, then straight or immediately that person should leave that sin. Allah's massive mercy, massive karam, that Allah Ta'ala has allowed us to hear this. Millions don't know what we're discussing now because they're so busy in this sin, so occupied, they don't even realize that they're sinning. Allahu Akbar. So what is the sin? This specific sin. The sin is dhulm, to commit dhulm, oppression, to oppress. So now when we say this, we say, I'm not a dhalim, I say. I'm not an oppressor. We say this, don't we? I haven't done dhulm, I haven't oppressed anyone. I haven't committed anything. We say, oh, I'm happy, I'm saved now. Everyone who's listening now, we say, oh, that's it. I don't know what sin was going to be discussed, which sin was going to come up. We think we are free. Everyone should say that we are dhalims. Then we will be saved. Everyone's heart should feel that we are dhalims. Yes? then I'll be saved. We thought, no, I'm saved, I'm free, it's not me. I don't know what Hazrat Sahab was about to say. I haven't got this sin in me. I don't do this sin. No. Just one. There are many actions of dhulam. I won't go towards them. Taking somebody's wealth, dhulam, swearing, and disrespecting the youngsters, and oppressing the wife and children, and the wife and the husband, and the husband and the wife. Yani mashra. Societal intercourse today is right at the bottom of the heap. We say, oh, no, that's not me. I'm fair. Okay, fine. But tell me one more thing. Let's pay attention and then say that you're not a dhalim, or we are not dhalims. We're not doing dhulam. So from today, we need to think, my brothers, that anyone from us, nobody should think that we are dhalim. Do you understand what I'm saying? A dhalim, he shouldn't assess himself. Rather, don't do self-assessment. The person who's had the dhulam done on him, he says you're a dhalim. And if a person says this from his mouth, you've done dhulam on me. You've oppressed me. This is a big point. If somebody's mouth utters this, if you hear someone saying this, what do we say? Oh, you're talking rubbish. Nonsense. Never, no individual in some way openly shrieking out, nobody will say you've done dhulam on me. Nobody without a reason. People say, oh, he's done a big dhulam on me. So that only that person will say you've done dhulam on me whose heart is broken due to that individual. Yes? He's taken his mal, his wealth, his shop, he's destroyed his job. There's an open field. That person says to me, oh, he's a dhalim. He's done dhulam on me. He's oppressed me. He's taken my share. He's taken my mal and my wealth. He's eaten this. And it was when dhulam takes place, then that person, how does he bear that? He won't say for nothing. But when a person has dhulam on him, dhulam has happened to himself, then he says to the other person, to the dhalim. But the dhalim himself doesn't accept. Let's start from the home. The home is a big country. Our children will tell us. Our offspring will say, our wife, our mother, father, everyone will say that he's a dhalim person. Some people, the love is there, and the love is a veil. It hides the dhulam. But there are certain types of love that overwhelm a person due to that love. They don't say he's done dhulam, but they consider that he's done injustice to me. They say, that's the parents who feel that. Say subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? The parents won't say dhulam. That for example, he's pushed his parents to the limit, but the mother and father won't say from their mouths that he's a dhalim. They won't give him a curse, but what will they feel? They'll say that person is doing dhulam. He's oppressing because the love has overwhelmed them, so the mother and father don't say this to the child. Yet naturally, certain relationships and love, they hide the dhulam of that person. They don't say, but their hearts are feeling hurt due to that person, due to his dhulam, the mistakes he's implemented. Every human being will stand tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. The first person will say that he did dhulam against me. The person will complain that he hit my car, he didn't give me money, he slashed my tie, he didn't give me money, he did this, he didn't give me this. Is this not happening in the world today? Yes? Is anyone safe from this? He did this to me and I did this to him and he didn't repay the favor. My sister did this and he didn't repay this and he did wrong to me, he oppressed me, etc. And today the whole dynasty of oppression is there, and such a big sin. So the muttaqi will be that person, subhanAllah, that even from the mouth of the enemy, the state will say, no, he didn't do dhulm. He didn't commit oppression. He'd leave us. There'll be people like this, won't there? There'll be people like this, yes. That's why I stated that when you see that there's argumentation, disputes, quarrels, may not be that I'm a dhalim. So that person leaves his rights as well. Say subhanAllah, he leaves his rights. He sees the akhirah. He sees that he doesn't see the dunya. He sees yaqeen, he has yaqeen on this point that we're discussing now, that I'm discussing with you. They have yaqeen and certainty. The brothers, this is a fact. This is the reality. So this is how big a sin is dhulam. Now listen, I'll tell you a specific point, that who is the dhalim? Specific point, ajeeb, unique point. Hazrat Sufyan Thawri, rahmatullahi, great muhaddith, alim, scholar, mufakkar, commentator, and the biggest point, he was a wali of Allah. He was the great wali of his time, Hazrat Sufyan Thawri, rahmatullahi. If we start speaking about him, then the morning time will come, his kalamat, his statements, his events and incidents, his level, his rank, great sheikh. And he taught that, shall I tell you a hidden action of the dhalim? Pay attention towards this, every one of us. He stated that such a person, listen carefully, such a person, when he is doing dua, reciting dua, then he does dua for himself, but his parents who brought him up. Now listen about the parents here, here's the commentary. Who are the parents? What do the parents do? Allah said, Allahumma rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. The word rabb has been used because the parents bring up the child, give food, water, mother gives milk, and bring up the child and clothing, look after the child. So who is here now? What are we talking about? This is the bodily sustenance and bringing up the child, the physical child. So it's just not just one side to life, is it? The other side to our life is the ruh, the soul. So there's the physical father, the physical parents who bring up the child physically. Allah says, I also created a father to look after the ruh, the soul of the student. Subhanallah, say subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala has created the parents physically for the body, and in the same way parents for the ruh. Both things are traveling parallel. For the children there's food, chapati, bread, biryani for the physical body, and for the ruh, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. So we'll eat biryani, go to the feast, your stomach will be full, you'll enjoy yourself. If you do dhikr of Allah, go to the majlis, your soul will be full. Full of sustenance and vitality. Oh, I'm feeling sukoon, peace, because I've got food and biryani for my ruh. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that who recited these kalima? Who are these people? Those who recited this kalima. Wallahi, Allah Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the whole dunya, what it contains, where the sun shines and the solar system, Allah says the whole universe put to one side. These kalamat, these verses are more beloved to me. When a person arrives to such a majlis, Allah, but he gets the spiritual food for his ruh, for his soul. So we realize, just like the mother, father make food, fry eggs, kebab, puttar, my son is eating physical food, and we eat the chapatis on the other side. The wali Allah, he also lays out the spiritual food. My sons, my students, eat, and give strength to your ruh. So there are two types of parents. One is the parents who physically bring up the child, but eventually the child and the parents, they will also be buried into the soil, and they'll all become soil themselves. So that's just for protection. Allah created the parents, gave them the love, look after the body of the child so that the child grows up to do ibadah, worship. So the mission I've given, he can fulfill that mission. But our spiritual father, spiritual parents, Allah Ta'ala created for our ruh, for our soul. Do you understand what I'm saying? For our ruh, for our spirit, what do they do? What do they do? Just like the parents, they bring up the children without greed or any third agenda. The sheikh, the spiritual father, he will also feed the child, the student, without any greed. So here we realize who's the true father and the stepfather. Yeah, straightforward deen, straightforward signs Allah Ta'ala has told to us. The person will look for your money, your maal, say, he's not my father. He's like a thief, he keeps on taking my money, he's my real father. But he's running after money, wealth. But the sheikh says, I'm your father. Eh? If a person who says, I'm your father, I'll just take money from you, give me your maal, your money, say, no, this must be my stepfather. He's not the real father. The real father, my true father, he's linked with me. He'll have enough love for me so that he can bring me up. Bring me up in a nice way. Say, subhanallah. Subhanallah. And a person who gets a father like this, subhanallah, then he is never an orphan. Never an orphan. Never. There are so many orphans today in the world who have no father. So do you realize this from what we just discussed? So many orphans in the world who don't have a father. Let's be grateful we've got a father. Allah has given us a father. Subhanallah. The person who doesn't have a father, he's yatim. He's orphan. So these are spiritual orphans in the world today. They have no father. They don't know, have no one to look after their ruh. When they die, the ruh will say, there was no one to look after me. I had no father, nobody to cherish me, to look after me. And he just physically looked after me. If he told me, gave me food, told me to do zikr, told me good words, there was nobody. Nobody. He never went to anything good. He just kept on going in the dunya, filling his stomach, his body, his image. He thought that was the best. He thought that person's the best to give him bread and chapatis to eat. So Hasan Thawri rahmatullah stated that the parents, I'll come back to the hadith now. That you see how much importance is laid on the parents. Now listen to the hadith. That who will be the zalim in thereafter? He stated that person who does dua for himself, but at the same time, his physical and spiritual parents who brought him up, who are looking after him, they, and also in addition to the spiritual and physical parents, they and those people who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves the most. Who does Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam love the most? That the Rasulullah went on Mi'raj and he spoke to Allah, they were seeing each other. And who did the Prophet feel bad about? Hazrat Hussain radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anhu? No, he felt sad about his ummah. That Allah, what will you give for my ummah? What shall I take from ummah? Allah gave a gift, and the Prophet said, Allah, what about my ummah? Do something for them. Imagine the love, how much the Prophet loved the ummah. Allah said, okay, fine, I'll give you such a gift. How will they remember? They won't even appreciate that today me and you have met. So as a commemoration, I'm seeing you, you're seeing me. So I'll give you the enjoyment of this to your ummah. take these five salah, in every salah the person who prays will get this enjoyment. Subhanallah. Isn't it stated? Salah is the mirajul mu'mineen, is the ascension to the heavens for the mu'min. That you look to the heavens and the test of your love is what? That your ummah will be on the earth and remembering me and praying to me, Allah says. And they'll be as if they are doing miraj, as Allah says. That the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is that worship Allah as if you can see Him. And obviously some people will be feeling this, who will have fed their soul, who would have had a spiritual father, who would have been prepared. Definitely they are doing the prostration and praying salah in the right way. Isn't it stated, oh, your child, he's an orphan, he has no father. Those children, they wander around the streets, the alleyways, they doss around. If the father is there, the shadow of the father, the shade, he looks after the child, same school, madrasa, makes him a hafid. Father does, isn't it? In the same way, those people, they are yateem, they are orphans whose soul is drowned in sins. They have no spiritual father. Those who have spiritual father, he doesn't allow them to commit the sins. They send them to school, they do analysis accounts, become a hafid, do good, don't waste time. Do you understand what I'm saying? 100%? Put your hands up if you understand what I'm saying. So, okay, fine, good. Right, let's continue. So now, let's go towards the hadith. That a person who does dua himself, and dua we have an opportunity to dua any time. A person can do dua any time, and we should do dua all the time. After nafil, voluntary, after talawat, recitation, salah, after any time when you're sitting, standing, wherever you are, you can do dua. Do durood sharif once and do dua. Yeah, there's no apportioned time that you can't ask Allah. Ask from Allah any time. Allah says there are times when our special mercy of mine is there. If after fard you do dua, my special mercy is there. If you go to the Kaaba, my special mercy is there. If you go to the gathering of Wali Allah, my special mercy is there. There are special places and times Allah has mentioned. But asking from Allah, Allah says, don't hesitate. Don't delay. Ask from me any time. Don't hesitate. That whenever you have a need from your Rabb, stand and straight away ask from Allah. First, tajib lakum, ask, Allah says, I'll give to you. Ask in the street, in the alleyway, on the road, on the bus, walking, wherever you are, there's no veil between me and you, Allah says. Why? Because I'm the one who gives and you are the one who takes. Subhanallah. This is the relationship between us and Allah. So, Allah says, the Hazrat Tawri Ram, they said that when you do dua for yourself, you leave your spiritual father, your physical father, and you forget the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's stated that he is the biggest dhalim, he is the biggest oppressor. The person who does that empty dua. Do you understand the meaning, my brothers? So now tell me, how big an action is dhulam, severe a sin? Are we saved? How many of us do the dua first? That after today make a true solid promise that whenever we raise our hands to do dua, whatever words come out, we are not just asking for ourselves, we ask for ourselves that I have a need, Allah. Immediately I've got to, suddenly, and those who have a link with Allah, subhanAllah, Allah has given us a basis for measurement. Such a great basis of measurement. Ask for everything from Allah. I'm walking, for example, my glasses, they fall off or they get spoilt or something, then ask from Allah straight away. Oh, Allah, please correct my glasses. This should be our habit. How did this get spoiled or disfigured or wrong, and then put the glasses back on? Do dua to Allah. Have belief in Allah. So much strong our relationship should be with Allah. We're thirsty. Say, Allah, I'm thirsty. Please prepare water for me in a glass, Allah. Subhanallah. So is this our link with Allah today? No. Imagine how far we are from Allah. And that, for example, when we're thirsty, we have a desperate need, then we believe in Allah. And is Allah for only for when our needs are desperate needs, then we do wazifas and prayers and long khatams, and then we do du'as. Is this how far Allah is away from us? Is this the formality we need to adopt with Allah? No. Allah says, whilst you're walking, if you suddenly have a need for something, you're walking and suddenly you're thirsty, stop there. Say, Allah, I'm thirsty, give me some water. Allahu Akbar. Yes, either Allah will give you the water to drink or your thirst will be quenched. I swear by Allah and tell you, try to exercise and practice this relationship. You say, no, what's this? This is not for me. Is this the link we have with Allah? What dhikr do we do then? That's why we do dhikr. That not a moment should we forget Allah. Always we are dependent on Allah. For example, that I leave home and I leave my watch home. Oh Allah, please prepare something for me. I forgot my watch home. This has happened to me various times, subhanAllah. And the watch is found, it's made available. Allah Ta'ala prepares. Allah prepares. If we ask for Allah like this, whether we get or not, But at least Allah is happy, we're happy with Allah. Allah then gets happy that only I can give to you, nobody else. What do you say? Oh, yaar, my watch is lost. Oh, this happened to me today, I didn't do this, it's become too hard. 10,000 complaints and distress, looking for the solution, thinking back, oh, madman. Just stop there and ask from Allah. Allah is the one who gives. Subhanallah. That's it. Why are we so far from Allah? Because we don't have yaqeen, certainty. So we need to develop our yaqeen. So what a great point, as a Sufi and Tawriyam, they said in this hadith, that person who does dua for himself and he forgets his parents, and additionally, he forgets the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ, forgets the Muslims, he's not doing dua for them, then he is the biggest dhalim. He will be the biggest dhalim on the Day of Judgment. So the punishments we heard in the beginning for the certain sins, then tell me, will we go towards this sin? After today, make true tawbah, true repentance, that whenever we ask for dua, we'll ask Allah for like this, we'll do dua for our spiritual father, for our physical father. And this is lazim on us. It's not a favor we're doing on anyone. This is hukam from Allah. Uda. That I have given you your father. If you didn't have father, how would you be born? Allah says, physical father gave to you and you were born. A spiritual father I've given to you so your ruh can become alive and take you to Jannah. And what do you think? Who do you think you are? That you are yourself, you've attained everything? You'll come in, make fuss. No, give now. No, that we do dua. We say, oh, I'm doing dua for you. I did umrah for you. And I always include you in my duas. And I saw you in a dream recently. So we're doing a favor on that person. We're doing a favor that we're repeating to that person, our spiritual father, I've done dua for you, I did umrah for you, we phoned from there, I'm doing everything for you, umrah for you. That person will feel ashamed that me, I'm nothing. If somebody said this to me, I'd be melt like water. That how can I repay your favor? How can I? That I'm a minor individual, because it becomes a favor for that person, isn't it? That I keep on, for example, I give you a rupee, I've done this for you or that for you. Will that person not be ashamed that I'm such a simple person, I can't even do dua, I'm not even capable. Such a big favor you've done on me. Subhanallah. So is this a point that we should discuss? The haq, the right. Yes, that person, when he says this, he spoils all his ibadah. When he says this, hey, I did umrah for you, the amazing, shocking thing is, why didn't you do umrah? When you depart from umrah, when you put ihram on, then you should have the niyah that I'm doing this for my sheikh, and then your umrah also will be accepted. Is this something to tell you? To explain to you? On the road, the Mubarak, when you're present, then first and foremost, give for the sake of your sheikh, teacher, and give the salam for your sheikh, then your salam will be accepted. You're showing off, I went to do salam, I remember you, I gave your salam as well. What a big difference between the two, tell me. So this is what we've been taught. There's a lot of detail of this. What can I say to you? As a Tawri, he presented the whole subject. You think you're not dhalim, you realize at that time, two things will be asked. And when you did dua, Allah give you tawfiq to do dua, did you ever remember your parents? No? Did you ever remember the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time when you did dua? So brothers, will we do dua like this from today? Will we? We will, won't we? Yes, tell me. What a big secret that's been unraveled today. Allah Ta'ala, we don't even consider that we were dhalim. Because we are dhalims. We do big dhulam. Yes, that is dhulam. The open physical dhulam. Allah will also save us from that dhulam as well. Inshallah. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that our akhirah is like this, that our hashr, our hereafter, resurrection is with the muttaqeen. When we depart from this world, not one stain of a sin should be in our bodies, in our lives, and we try for this objective so that we can leave this world with taqwa. May Allah Ta'ala accept. Ameen. Allahumma fi al-azul wa al-zulmana.
وعزلنا وجدنا وحطنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان. وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأجرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم استعملنا بسنتي ونفعنا بمحبتي واشرنا بسنتي يا كريم. اللهم إنا لذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. يا الله ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين.